All right, 2 days ago, I started a conversation with you saying something that you probably wouldn't normally hear on Christian radio. I mean, in effect, for the last 2 days during Open Lines, be it the first, Monday, we did it in the middle of the program yesterday, towards the end of the program, an hour-long Open Lines, talking about the public schools. I've been saying, in effect, you know, those public schools, I've kind of learned from experience against a lot of preconceived notions, those public schools aren't all that bad. They aren't all that bad as I thought. Now, my preconceived ideas about the public schools, essentially, has changed. I believed, as many Christians do, for a long, long time, my whole life. Every horror story I heard coming out of public schools. And that's changed. By the way, to say, you know, those public schools aren't all as bad as I thought, is that an attack on Christian schools? Some people have thought it is. Now, many agreed, as we've talked about over the last 2 days during Open Lines, the whole subject of public schools, maybe we need to take a look at it, stop exaggerating, stop believing everything we hear about the public schools, check it out for ourselves, and to be as critical of Christian schools, where criticism is deserved, as we are of public schools. Many have agreed. Many, I know, have not. Now, I've been contacted via email by a number of people who didn't agree, and they were, you know, various levels of disagreement, some very thoughtful, some less thoughtful. But I thought one more day of this would be good, and this time to only take calls from those who disagree. That the public schools, when I say, you know, those public schools, they aren't all that bad, only take calls from people who disagree with me on that. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or since some have interpreted the statement, you know, those public schools, they aren't all that bad, as an attack on Christian schools, which I've said, I don't know how many times, it's not intended to be an attack on Christian schools. I still fully support Christian schools. My opinion of public schools has simply gone up. My opinion of Christian schools has not gone down. But some people say you can't have one without the other. If you say those public schools aren't so bad, you must be saying something bad about the Christian schools. So if you want to call in and make the case for Christian schools, I'd be happy to take your call as well. But I'm looking for those people, only those people, who disagree with me. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. here in the first hour of the program, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And before we go to the phones, let me tell you what's coming up later on the program. In the second hour, for 25 minutes, Pastor Clement Preuss joins us for the third of, 12 conversations we're going to have with him in the course of the month of May on his book, It's Our Issues, Etc., book of the month for May, The Fire and the Staff, Lutheran Theology in Practice. We're going to talk about the Word and the Spirit. Can you have a wordless spirit or a spiritless word? We'll answer those questions in the next 25 minutes of Issues, Etc. in the second hour. Then C.J. Doyle will join us. We'll be talking with him for a few minutes about these arguments that were heard Monday by the Massachusetts Supreme Court to stop same-sex marriage in that state where same-sex marriage has been going on for the better part of 2 years now. C.J. Doyle is executive director of the Catholic Action League of Massachusetts. He's one of the plaintiffs in that case. Then in the last hour of the program, this is a rare opportunity. It's going to be, a fun last hour for everyone to listen to, and I do encourage you to listen and to call in the last hour as we talk with Rebecca Hagland, because the best caller during that hour will receive her new book, Home Invasion, Protecting Your Family in a Culture That's Gone Stark Raving Mad. The last hour will be talking with her about the state of the culture. Best emailer as well will get a copy of her book. Now, our call-in numbers for all 3 hours, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, I only want to hear, I don't have anything against the people who've been calling in the last 2 days. Thank you for calling in and for it, in a sense, saying, yeah, you know, I think we do need to stop exaggerating about those public schools, not paint with such a broad brush, and to be, if we're going to criticize the public schools, to apply the same standard to Christian schools. I think that's fair, and I'm glad that people agree with me on that. But I want to hear from people in this hour, only people who disagree. This is your opportunity. Some of you have written me. Some of you have probably just sat there and stewed for the last 2 days during Open Lines. Now is your opportunity. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Also, those people who want to make the case for Christian schools. See, this it's two different things here, okay? We hardly need to make the case for Christian schools, but since people somehow believe that if you raise your opinion of the public schools, it automatically lowers your opinion of Christian schools, we'll make your case for the Christian schools, the positive case for the Christian schools. By the way, without having to say, well, you know, at least we're better than them rotten public schools. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, I can ask for that because I am completely confident that the case for the Christian school is easily made without appealing to how rotten the public schools are. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's start with Kurt, who calls from his car. Kurt, welcome to Issues Etc.
Pastor Todd, I heard that evidently you've decided to put your daughter in the public schools. Is that correct?
That
a couple of days ago?
Well, I actually decided several months ago to do it, but yeah.
I was shocked. Totally shocked, because I don't know of any other thinking Christians that are making that move. Most of them are going completely quickly in the other direction. And I guess I do know the district. Is it Edwardsville, the Edwardsville district?
No.
Okay. Well, I do know that, and I live in Edwardsville, Illinois, but I did go to the public schools. I did not benefit from a Christian education growing up.
So how did you turn out the way you did, Kurt?
Well, I sat next to a boy when I was in ninth grade who I was in biology class, and he began to talk to me about how we had not evolved, and I'd grown up in the LCA.
So you believed we'd evolved, yes?
I was confused.
Okay.
I was confused. I didn't really know too much because in liberal churches they don't want you to think too much. And, you know, you emote. And but he really turned my thinking around. And that really helped me a lot. But, you know, but for him, there was a woman who taught my freshman biology class who was a radical secularist, if you'd want to say that. I mean, a radical materialist. And I always say that my high school years were a complete waste of time. The only thing I learned how to do was type, and I would have been much better off, you know, taking courses at some college or something like that. But I mean, the best teacher I had as far as a Christian influence was a dispensationalist who was completely unintellectual, and his only rule in class. And Pastor Todd, I have to say, I went to one of the better school districts in downstate Illinois, Bloomington Normal. Bloomington Normal and Champaign-Urbana were really good college towns, and they were really a cut above all the surrounding areas, better than Peoria, better than Decatur, better than Springfield, which was a political hack town. I mean, to generalize, Bloomington Normal and Champaign-Urbana had really good school districts, public school districts. But so I've been to good public schools. And what I read in the state of Illinois, I read about the good public schools, where this is actually, they're the most radically secular up in Glen Ellyn, Illinois, and some of the other big public school districts up in the suburbs. But I think maybe you've not experienced yourself firsthand what public schools are really like. Maybe some other people who have grown up totally within, say, a Catholic or a Lutheran parochial system, they have no idea what public schools are like. And I'm talking about 30 years ago.
Let me ask you a couple questions before I let you go, Kurt. First of all, you say that you had a biology teacher who was just a radical materialist. What did you expect?
I was only 14 or 15. But
what did you expect from the public schools?
Yeah, but I didn't expect, I wasn't thinking at that age. I was a child. I was in their hands. My parents had delivered me to the government church, which its mission was to secularize us.
So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but which do you fault your parents more for, delivering you to the government church or keeping you in the government school, or keeping you in a church that didn't teach you better?
I think it went hand in hand. I do think that if you're very well catechized and educated as a Christian child, you can go in and you are you can be prepared. But I will say, in my own church, that the folks that are still in the public schools are the folks that don't want to talk about it. It's almost as, you know, the people that I talk to that are pro-life, pro-choice, they don't want to talk about it because they can't offer any good rational reason, you know, to be pro-choice other than some pragmatic one, you know, some environmental reason or, you know, we're having too many uneducated children or something like this. It's not a real good philosophical argument.
Okay, one other question for you, uh-huh. Kurt, and that is, you said that in the public school there was a kid next to you who actually was the one who raised these questions.
He had gone
questions.
To a Baptist Academy K through 8, and here we were in ninth grade.
And he was raising these questions, but you found that actually in the public school.
I did.
All right, Kurt, thank you very much. Now, his last point there, that he said people who have their kids in the public school don't want to talk about things. That's precisely why I'm talking about this. I am now the parent of a public school kid. And that's precisely why I'm talking about it. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And no offense to Kurt or to his parents, but it sounds as though two things went wrong, perhaps. Maybe one thing went wrong before another thing went wrong. If indeed it was not right for his parents to, as he said, deliver him to the government schools. Which was worse, delivering your kid to the government school or keeping your kid in a church that wouldn't teach them any better than a government school would teach them? Very good call, Curtin. Thank you very much. I mean, tremendous call. Thank you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's open lines, issues, etc. We're talking about the public schools, continuing our conversation from the last 2 days. I am looking for callers, only callers, who disagree with me that, hey, as I've been saying for the last 2 days, you know, those public schools aren't all so bad as I used to think. Jeanette calls from her car. Jeanette, welcome. All right, we'll get Jeanette back. And I want to hear from those of you who disagree. Now, if you want to call in to make the case for the Christian schools, I do not think that to raise your opinion of the public schools is to lower your opinion of Christian schools. But I do believe that a case can be made for Christian schools without appealing to the badness of the public schools. And I'm anxious to hear someone make that case. Actually, I got an email from a very thoughtful person this morning who did. Out from a mid-state in Illinois. A listener, and she made a very thoughtful case for the Christian schools, and I don't think in the course of her entire email she had to say anything bad about the public schools to do it. She really didn't. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, look, if no one wants to disagree, which I seriously doubt, if no one wants to disagree and call in, and you saw with Kurt here, this isn't a trick question. I don't have a noose waiting for the callers here to suddenly whip you up to the treetops. Call in, make your case. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. If no one wants to disagree, I do have some other things to talk about. Dwayne calls from his car. Dwayne, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes.
Hi, Dwayne.
Am I still on?
You are. You're on with me.
Okay. I understand what you're saying about the public schools, that the case can be made that they're positive, and I would agree with you to a certain extent. However, you're going to run into certain situations and certain teachers and classes where you're going to feel very uncomfortable in that situation. I worked with, and I've been in most of the public schools of the greater St. Louis area, supervising student teachers. For the University of Missouri out of Columbia, and I do find that from time to time you're going to run into a teacher who has very strong opinions about secularism and opposed to anything that's Christian and will espouse those to their students. Now, that's not always the case, but you are going to find that, and what I think is important and is necessary is that the child that is exposed to that has to have a strong Christian base and to be able to understand that their position regarding Christianity and their belief in the triune God or in Christ is going to be challenged, and they're going to have a strong base from which to then withstand that, or they can be swayed and fall away. Now, I guess that's, in one sense, a disagreement with your position that the public schools aren't all that bad, and I would agree that they're not all that bad, but you can generalize, that's my opinion, that you can't generalize and say, well, this one is good, and I've had a good experience in this one. They're all going to be that way.
I think you absolutely
have one teacher who, when a child in a fifth grade class wanted to talk about creation, and they were talking about the solar system, and this teacher was espousing how it came into being and so forth, and this one child spoke up and said, well, I believe that God created it. And the teacher said, we can't talk about God here, and that's not an issue that we're allowed to talk about. And then she went on to espouse the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, which is...
And say that that's the way it should be. So I think if your child is well-grounded in the Christian faith, and when those situations come up, you will be able to rest assured that your child is going to have a positive experience then.
Duane, thank you very much. Again, wow, two very thoughtful callers in a row to start out this hour of Issues, etc. And I value that Duane's thoughts there. He speaks, obviously, from some experience with public schools as well. Now, a couple things in he's right. You cannot generalize, which is precise. I choose my words very carefully. And I appreciate it when callers, as many, most do, pay attention to what I say rather than what they think I'm saying. I think Duane is one of those who's paying attention to what I say. Those public schools are not all as bad as I thought. I don't think that's a generalization, because there are some that are bad or worse than I thought. But not all of them are as bad as I thought, which is a big shift for me, folks. You got to realize how big of a change in opinion and thought this has been for me. This is why I'm talking about it on the air. Now, the other thing that Duane had to say is very important. He got right to the heart of the matter. What is the danger of sending your kids into any environment wherein nothing of what they believe as Christians will be reinforced? If anything, that's worst case scenario. What is the danger? That it would rob them of their faith. And I think Duane's exactly right in pointing out that is the danger. It is a danger, by the way, that our children will face sooner or later. Which is why I said yesterday, this is not a decision I would have made had my daughter not been 13, but been 8. I would not have made this decision. Not equipped to do it. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And I think, to use Duane's words there, I think that there comes a point where the kids do need to eventually realize that in this world, they're going to feel uncomfortable believing what they believe. And there is a point at which the parents will say to the kids, whether they send them to public school or not, say to them, Jimmy, Sally, you had better get used to it. You're not going to feel comfortable in this world believing what you believe as a Christian. Your life is going to be extremely uncomfortable. Don't expect the culture or anyone else or schools or any other institution to reinforce it. So I want to hear from people who disagree with me that these public schools are not all that bad. Now, so I think Duane actually agreed with me, even though he was sounding a very cautionary tone, and I appreciate it. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Any others out there like Kurt, our first caller, who was shocked to hear that I would take my daughter out of a Christian school and put her in a public school? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. No, the world is something that we can shelter our children from as long as we can, but sooner or later, well, it comes crashing in, doesn't it? The world doesn't come from outside, it comes from inside. And even if you kept your child in a convent or a monastery for their entire childhood, the world would still visit them daily through their own sinful flesh. But I see no lights on the telephone, so am I to assume that no one disagrees with me? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Does anyone want to make the case for the Christian school? Not that I believe any case really needs to be made, but for those, as I said before, I got a very thoughtful email from someone who said, this is why the Christian school is so very valuable to me and my family. And I greatly appreciated getting that email. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We've got 3 minutes before this break. Go through this break. I'm waiting for your phone calls. Don't pass up this opportunity, because after this break, if I don't hear from people who disagree with me, I've got other things to talk about. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Some have accused us of not taking callers or not letting people speak who disagree with me. Here's your opportunity, folks. And here are your phone numbers. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. This is your chance. Not your last chance. I'm certain we'll revisit this subject at some time in the future. And I will say this. If I am wrong, I like the little adage that Dennis Miller finishes every one of his rants with. You ever watch Dennis Miller, the comic? You know who I'm talking about. He has his rants, and then he ends his rants by saying, that's just me. I could be wrong. I like that adage. You might not believe that about me, but I really do. If I am wrong, I'll be the first one to come on the air and say, folks, I made a mistake. But I want to hear from people who disagree now. Let's start with Cindy again, going into this break, calling from her car. Cindy, welcome.
Hi. My comment is that I think what I heard you say something about children losing their faith, I don't think that is possible in the first place. I think if we are elect, then it's not possible to lose our salvation. However, I did homeschool our son through middle school and high school because I think he got a better education than he would have gotten in the public school. I could choose curriculum, and I think he ended up doing very, very well and is graduating from college next week. And I just think it's because the education in the public schools these days is not really up to par.
Cindy, I agree that there may be a big difference. But I'll say what I've said for the last 2 days, and I haven't talked about the educational standards, but as far as I can tell, and I pay very close attention to the homework, to the assignments, to the grades, as far as I can tell, it's every bit as high, at least in the experience in my family, every bit as high, if not just in some cases, a teensy bit higher. One thing public school does give a kid more chance to do is study. They actually have time during the day to study, lo and behold. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. More of your phone calls on the other side of this break. Hang on the line. We'll be right with you after this.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
What's the relationship between sound doctrine and sound practice? Can the sound doctrine of the church survive if its practice is compromised? Can a church claim to have sound doctrine if it doesn't any longer have sound practice? The Fire and the Staff is our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Clement Preuss. To find The Fire and the Staff, visit either of Concordia Publishing House's bookstores in the St. Louis area. One is in the city at 3558 South Jefferson, the other on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. The book is $26.99 plus shipping and handling. When you go in, mention Issues Etc. and the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, The Fire and the Staff, by Pastor Clement Preuss. Or for more information on The Fire and the Staff, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and find the book on the homepage.
Now this Global Minute calls your prayer attention to Mexico. It's Cinco de Mayo when people celebrate a Mexican victory against an invading French army. In 1862, about 5,000 Mestizo and Zapotec Indians defeated the French army that originally demanded repayment of a loan and then became bent on controlling Mexico. Cinco de Mayo celebrations take the shape of large festivals in cities and fiestas in the villages. Holiday fiestas are gaining popularity in the United States, too. Pray for Mexico, a country of 101 million people where 94% would call themselves Christians, but more people are admitting they don't even have any religious background. Secular humanism is prevalent in Mexico's leading institutions, especially the media. Pray for Mexicans to embrace Christ. Encourage others to pray for the world with conviction. Have them visit the website missionvisionnetwork.org, missionvisionnetwork.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute.
Mom!
Once in a while, kids call out, Dad. But we all know it's Mom who wins the calling contest. Besieged mothers should call out, too. For their children, to God. Today, May the 4th, the church remembers Monica, a great prayer for her child. Like many young people, her son gave up the Christian faith to sow his wild oats. It happens, these newly independent young adults going their own way, and it tears up a faithful mother more than most of us know. Monica went to a priest for counsel. He told her, let him alone for a while, only pray to God for him. She pestered the priest more. Go your way, he finally said, and God bless you, for it is not possible that the son of these tears should be lost. And her son wasn't lost. Her son Augustine became one of the greatest leaders in the history of the Christian church. Remember how your kids call to you? Have we trials? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Mothers, besieged by your children's needs, worried about their lives, call to the Heavenly Father for them. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I'm Dale Meyer.
Can you imagine having a free subscription to worldwide KFUO programs off the air? A way to enable your computer to automatically download audio on a daily basis? Offering you the convenience of instantly listening to the Bible study or issues, etc. on demand at your desk or in the car? Well, perhaps you would benefit from worldwide KFUO podcasting. Many folks already are. Click one of the orange XML icons on the KFUO website. It's easy, free, and gaining popularity.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., the Ascension of Christ, Dr. Norman Nagel will join us to talk about this key event in our salvation history. And, of course, tomorrow is Ascension Day, as celebrated by the Church. Dr. Nagel will be our guest in Studio A tomorrow. We'll also talk about, we'll be talking to Bishop John Shelby Spong. Now, he's got a new book called The Sins of Scripture. We're going to have a conversation with him and ask him some pointed question. It's Open Lines, Issues Etc. I'd like to take calls from two groups, same subject as the last 2 days, but so that everyone gets a chance to register their opinion, unless anyone believe that we're somehow screening out opinions, only people who disagree during these 2 hours on my basic thesis for the last 2 days. You know, those public schools, they're all not as bad as I thought. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or those who want to make the case for Christian schools, which I think is very easy to make. The positive is about Christian schools. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Up next, Chuck from St. Peter's. Hi, Chuck.
Hello, Pastor Todd.
Hi, Chuck.
I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I went to a Christian school through grade school, and in the Kansas City area, we didn't have any Lutheran high schools at that time. Things were pretty rough in high school, and it was back in the late 70s, and yeah, you can just imagine what all went back then. Having said that, I have three kids here in the St. Charles County area that all attend Christian schools, and it's always been my dream to keep them as grounded in the Word for as long as I possibly could, knowing that someday that I would have to let them go. My concern is this. in the public schools, it's really become no secret to me that it's become a ground of indoctrination for socialistic ways. And in fact, the beginnings of the National Education Association are firmly grounded in socialism.
So I got to ask you, though.
Yeah.
How has this become evident to you? What is the evidence that has made this evident to you that this is socialistic indoctrination?
Well, I think that just from taking a look at squeezing God out of the schools, the very mention, the very meetings of Christians, using the same facilities, all the things that we see nightly on television, those things are happening.
Well, now, Chuck, mm-hmm. I'm going to let you finish, but I got to say, you sound just like me before I sent my daughter to public school. Now, my public school may be the exception out of the thousands in the country. The public school my daughter goes to may be the exception, but let me just give you a few examples. A lot of the teachers there are professing Christians. When I say professing Christians, they profess to be Christians in the classroom, and they speak very freely about their faith.
I pray that that's the case.
And in addition to that, now just a few anecdotes. These mean very little, depending, I guess, the context. But in the homeroom, boy, I hope I don't get anybody fired. I don't think I will. In the homeroom, the kids can play whatever kind of music that they bring in within reason, not excluding Christian music. That's allowed to be played in the homeroom because the kids are sitting around studying and talking, whatever they're doing, And no Christian symbolism on the clothes. None of that is forbidden. You can't bring in anything that has alcohol or drug references. There's a pretty fairly strict code of dress. But if you want to wear a cross on your shirt, if you want to wear a shirt that has a Bible passage quoted, no one stops you in the hall, makes you cover it up or take it off. Which is, I didn't know what would happen in those cases, but apparently that's not a real big deal, at least in my experience, Chuck. Go ahead.
Well,
and finish.
I hope that it stays that way, and I hope that I have a daughter who will be entering her freshman year, and for financial reasons, I'm not able to send her to Lutheran High School in this next semester. So this has weighed pretty heavy on my mind. I don't know. I guess having said all that, I am consoled at the proverb that tells us, though, that if we do teach our children and train them, that they won't leave when they're old. And I just feel it's my responsibility, and it's been weighing heavy on my heart that there's something that I can do for as long as I can, because I know that, at least I do know, actually, that everything that they are currently taught in the middle and junior high levels that they're in now, that everything is understood that it is from God and of God, and I know that that's not their responsibility to teach that in the public forum. If that makes any sense, I guess.
No, it makes perfect sense, Chuck, and I know exactly what you're saying. Thank you very much for the call. Again, you know, my wife and I actually had the unwritten agreement. We don't generally tend to write out our agreements in contract form, but we had the unwritten agreement that both kids in Christian day schools and schools, as long as we could afford it. And I was also, just like you, Chuck, looking out at the prospect of basically sending my kid to college when it comes to the tuition, what a local parochial Christian high school costs is about what my parents paid to send me to college. I'm not in any position to do that, I can tell you honestly. And saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I was thinking, well, the kids will probably have to go to public school in high school. Well, that day came couple years early for us. Let's go to this caller on our cell phone. Welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi. Pastor Wilkin, I guess I'm kind of in the middle on this. At least that's where the screener sort of put me. I grew up in the public school system myself, and I can say I got what I think is a pretty good education in a school where 98% of the students in a class of 350 went on to college. And for me, college was Concordia College Ann Arbor. So for me, it was a thrill to be in a parochial school after having gone through public school all my life. What I will say is that I did have to deal with abortion in 7th or 8th grade when we were asked to do a debate, and I was supposed to speak pro-abortion. And I went home to my mom and said, what's abortion? I didn't know. This was about 1977, so maybe I should have known for my parents. I remember, too, hearing about evolution in 7th or 8th grade, but it wasn't drilled into me. And when there was really a conflict was in high school when I had an ex-Methodist minister teaching my artistic heritage class, and he kept making sarcastic comments about the Prots and Martin Luther, and then my parents went with me and spoke with the principal and let them know that these comments, the sarcastic comments, were pretty inappropriate given that there was a Lutheran in the class. Well, given all that I think I got a good education, that yeah, there was some worldly stuff going on there, my kids now are in Lutheran school. And they're not going to be next year because I feel like there's a mixed message going on there where they're being given a Christian, quote-unquote, education at their school, but there's a lack of discipline, self-discipline. There's a lack of discipline in the class. The kids are disrespectful to the teachers. There are vulgar words. There are hurtful things, lies going on. I could go on and on. And so really what my children are being taught in the church and at school is not being lived out at school, and I feel like school is a big lie. And so I'm not sending them to public school next year. I'm going to homeschool them. That's what I feel now is the only option for my children. But bottom line I want to say is that I think the most important of all is a child's family life and their church life. So if mom and dad are teaching at home and mom and dad are living out the life at church and at home, that's going to have a bigger impact on the kids than whatever may try to tear that faith down at school or whatever may happen in the parochial school as well.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. And I don't know where I'd put her because that wasn't exactly disagreement. I mean, there was, she seemed to have a generally positive view of the public schools, kind of no worse for wear view of the public schools. And still trying to sort that one out. Let me speak to the whole issue of evolution. She said she had to deal with evolution being taught in the classroom. Now, just so that we understand, there's a picture painted. This kind of goes back to the stereotypes. There's a picture painted that if you send your kid to public school, they're going to hear about evolution only. That's not exactly true nowadays. There are a lot of more progressive public schools that are saying, hey, we got nothing to lose. Let's teach intelligent design right alongside. Or they'll permit for it. There are some that are. I don't know of many. But that's not the biblical view of creation still, is it? I heard from someone via email yesterday who sends their kid to a Christian school. And because the textbook that they're using in this Christian school had evolutionary presuppositions in it, when it came test time and a question was asked about some sort of evolutionary process in fish, this was a Christian school, by the way, and the child wrote instead of, well, fish have gills because of, you know, some sort of evolutionary process, according to the textbook that they were using in this Christian school. When the child gave the right answer, which is something like, you know, God gave fish gills, they didn't evolve, in this Christian school, it was marked wrong. It was the right answer. It was a Christian school. It was marked wrong. Another thing to kind of shatter your stereotypes. Now, I'm not saying that to bash Christian schools. I'm saying the stereotypes aren't going to help us. You know what the stereotypes are going to do? We continue to say, well, it's all the evolution is in the public schools. We will ignore the evolution being taught in the Christian schools. Hey, it's Christian. Come on. Whatever that means. Don't you know all the evolution's in the public schools? And it's wrong for two reasons. One, we ignore something that shouldn't be taught to our children in a Christian school. What else do you expect in a public school? But it shouldn't be taught to our kids in a Christian school. Number two, it is a double standard. If it's wrong to teach it in the public schools, it is just as wrong to teach it in the Christian schools. Now, I'm surprised, by the way, that so far no one's called in to make the case for the Christian schools. It's an easy case to make. I don't want to have to make it for myself. I already believe it. Has the main selling point of the parochial Christian school become that we're not as bad as the evil public schools? Is that the case? Is that the place we've come to? Matt calls from Richmond Heights. Matt, welcome to Issues Etc.
Great topic, Todd. Very, very, very interesting comments from people, including yourself. I think that schools are like real estate. It's all about location, location, location. And
tell me more. I'm intrigued.
Well, just that they vary, and you can't broad brush public, parochial, or private Christian schools. Parents really do need to sit in and listen, and they need to look over the material that's sent home very closely to see what they're doing there. And so I think that that parents do have a better chance to have input into the curriculum in a private setting, including Christian schools, than they do in the public schools. More and more, it seems like a lot of that material comes from on high, and when I mean on high, I don't mean just the state capitals, but I mean the federal capital. To me, maybe public schools are kind of a one-size-fits-all. Anything the government does is pretty much a one-size-fits-all, and you know, that's helpful for some, but not helpful for others. And so, again, it comes down to the individual student and how ready they are in one way or the other. Discipline, of course. I just heard the one caller talking about a parochial school that didn't have had a discipline problem. I mean, I wouldn't put up with that in a private setting.
And it shouldn't be put up with in a public setting either.
No, and it shouldn't
absolutely
be.
Absolutely not.
But liberalism, unfortunately, has permeated much of public settings, especially urban public settings, and wherever liberalism reigns, chaos is the preferred outcome. And then worldview, again, when we get to the idea of worldview, which is really critical for all of us, there again, in a private setting, there's more control over that than there would be in the public setting. And finally, the Greeks, the great educators, historically, had three areas that they thought we should focus on: mind, body, and soul. Christian schools can work on all three of those. Public schools have to drop the soul.
You're right. That's great. I mean, how articulate can you get? Very good. Terry calls from his car. Hi, Terry. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi. I just thought I would tell you that regarding that evolution question, there is a way that you could pose that question and have it appropriate whether you're in a public school or a parochial school.
You are absolutely right.
I have no problem with teaching evolution in a Christian school as long as you call it what it is, which is the theory of evolution. And if you said in that question, according to the theory of evolution, how did gills get on a fish? That's a totally different question than what you were talking about a minute ago.
You are absolutely right, Terry. In fact, I was thinking that very same thing after I read the email driving home last night. Same thing.
Right. And in fact, my thought would be you could even do a comparison and say, okay, according to creation, how did they get there? And according to evolution, how did they get there?
Although the creation questions all get real easy at that point. God put them in there. God put them there.
Right. But, you know, I have to tell you that I've been very happy with the Christian day school education that my children have received. My son is at Lutheran South and is a junior, and will probably at least not initially go to a Lutheran Concordia College, may eventually wind up there. My daughter is in a Christian day school, and I have found it to be a very loving atmosphere, a very caring atmosphere. I like the Bible verse memory that we have every week, even though sometimes it's a challenge. You're not going to find a biblical memory verse in a, you know, in a public school.
Not for the purposes to which they ought to be memorizing the Bible. Yes, you're right.
Right. And honestly, it's just been a wonderful atmosphere for her. She has some physical needs that make it important to me that she not be, what can I say, cast out into the milieu of the public school atmosphere at the moment. But for whatever it's worth, I have just found it to be a wonderful place. I have compared it to public schools in the area where I am and have not found it to be equivalent. I have found that the parochial school where we are is superior to anything that I can get in a public in the public school at this point where I'm at.
Terry, good to hear it. Thank you. Thank you. In South Dakota, listening on the Internet, Josh, thank you for waiting. Josh, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi there. First thing, I don't think it's a good idea to box kids up away from the teachings of evolution and stuff. Eventually, they're going to run into this stuff no matter what. Second of all, I have a kind of a problem, though, with public schools. I see that public schools are something that teach and promote the theology of individualism and relativism. And as Christians, aren't we called instead to serve God, to receive His word and His sacrament? And I think that the public schools they counter that at pretty much every turn.
Well, I think they do. And that comes back to what several callers have mentioned here. Among those, the callers that we've taken, Josh, and that is that worldview, that individualistic kind of materialistic worldview that they will get in public school is a dose of what they're going to get for the rest of their lives. We could be talking about television here. I don't send my kid to those public schools, but exactly what they get in the classroom is coming to them in a far more intriguing and interesting form via the television, isn't it? Okay, so we're never going to escape that. In fact, one might say American culture is really that philosophy of individualism. Isn't that amazing? You know, so many Christians say, nah to the public schools, but yah to the American culture, which is just as individualistic and as poisonous. By the way, we're going to be talking about American culture in the last hour of the program with Rebecca Haglund, author of that book, Home Invasion. That's where the parents must. You can't just say, do you know this is wrong, honey? You need to say, let me tell you what's right and let me tell you what is wrong. And when you see it, you deal with it as you would if your kid were picking it up on the street corner as much as in school. Chester in Rosebud, Missouri. Hey, I'm from Illinois. I can say Red Bud anytime I want. Chester, welcome.
Hello. I would like to say I'm sending my son to a Lutheran school because I want him to go to school in a place where the basic assumptions are a Christian worldview as a baseline. I think another great advantage to private school is the level of involvement that I get to have as a parent there. We recently called a new teacher, and I was able to be involved in that process. I would have no involvement there as public if he were going to public school.
Well, that's a very good point, Chester. That's a very good point. Thank you. All right, our time runs short here. Steve in Fenton. Steve, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Enjoying the discussion. I would say that, you know, Christian children, and again, we're all speaking in generalities here. You know, we're talking the 80% to 90% rule. Yes, there are exceptions on both sides, but I don't think Christian children should be going to the public school for the following reason. It's just looking, and this ties in with some of the discussions you've had with your guest, Gene Edward Veith, and the fellow from Indiana, talking about the new fascism and postmodernism. And that is that if you look at the top, again, yes, there are Christian teachers in a public school. That is correct. But if you look at the top where the curriculum is being formulated, where the philosophy is driving the curriculum and the programs, is that, you know, essentially the public school curriculum and mindset is set up to, number one, destroy any Christian faith that children might have, and number two, to also interfere and to destroy the family structure.
Now, where do you, again, I got to ask,
okay,
because this is precisely the ideas that I carried around for so long. Where's the evidence for that?
Well, you have to look at things like the National Training Laboratories and the educational schools at the universities, places like Stanford and Columbia, and look at the educational theory that's coming out of those places and how it's being implemented down through federal and state legislation, through the Department of Education, et cetera, and down to the programs and the in-services that the teachers are being exposed to. You look at a law like Senate Bill 380 that was passed on the last day of the session in May 1993 in Jefferson City that mandated a certain type of educational style, along with being the largest tax increase in Missouri history, also mandated a certain educational style called outcome-based education.
Now, Steve, I got to let you go because our time is very short, and I got a few things to take care of. Now, there's Steve doing what I asked him to do. Come and disagree, make your case. Now, I would point out two things, however, after Steve's call. And I can speak from experience on this. The same books that many of the same books that my daughter is using in public school, we talk about curriculum, were the books they were using in the Christian school. Same books. I happen to go to a teacher's college. That's where I went to university. You want to talk educational theory at a Christian teacher's college? Sometimes worse than what you'd get in the teacher's colleges at a secular university. Worse because it had a little Jesus mixed into it, but it was still the same old nonsense. Now, I want to compliment our listeners on both sides of this issue. Nowhere else on Christian radio are you going to hear, first of all, the host say, you know, I don't think those public schools are so bad, but listeners who are willing to think it through without just reacting. So I want to compliment all those who are willing to think it through. Now, I said it before and I'm going to say it again. The key here is, I think the real key here is parental involvement. You cannot assume anything. Don't. If your Christian school is worth its salt, and I do pray it is, they shouldn't have any problem with you walking in there to the classroom to each and every teacher and saying, hey, asking simple questions that they should be able to answer, like, hey, do you believe in a literal six-day creation? Go in. Ask your teachers that question. Do you teach the creeds, the Christian creeds? You might even ask a question like, do you really believe that the Bible is 100% from beginning to end God's word? And then when they say, oh, yes, 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 ask them this question. What's it about? What's it really all about, that book that you say is God's word from beginning to end? Ask those questions. They should be able to answer them. The same standard that we would, a higher standard for the Christian schools. Without a doubt. There should be, and we should expect it. All right, when we come back from this break, Pastor Clement Preuss is going to be our guest in the second hour for about 25 minutes. We're going to talk about the Word and the Spirit. Is there such a thing as the Spirit doing His thing apart from the Word of God? Is there such a thing as a Word of God that could be preached or taught that is bereft of the Spirit of God? We'll answer those questions and others when we come back. Then C.J. Doyle will join us to talk about Massachusetts Supreme Court and the stop on gay marriage. And Rebecca Hagelin will be our guest in the last hour of the program.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.